Lord, I pray, Lord, by no means am I worthy to speak of these things, and the best of what I may know to speak still is unworthy of this great message of truth. To the degree that you have opened my eyes to share with your people this morning, I want to thank you. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to speak about Jesus, and I thank you, God, for inclining my heart to speak not the things that I would want to, but Lord, the things that you compel by your Spirit to be spoken. I want to thank you, Lord, and I want to pray for your people that you have ordained this moment for. As we open your word, I pray they will receive your word, not as a word of man, but as very word spoken from the living God. Lord, bless us today, Lord. Thank you for receiving our prayers. Guide us through these next few minutes. I pray that the Lamb will be heard. I pray that the Lamb of God will be heard clearly, God. Father, use our congregation, use this meeting, use this session consecrated for you to speak your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Happy Sunday. It's nice to have everybody in church. How are we all doing? It's so nice to see you. I'm not even going to say it. Your parents and I went to college together. I was in your house about 7 weeks ago. You went home. Yeah, just so tell your dad you saw Uncle Wale Adeniyi. All right. So nice to see you. I should have known. You look like your mom slightly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's also nice to see everybody here. Thank God for what he does. We've been through so many things in the course of the week. And often, just looking around, we've had varied experiences in our lives this week. It has pleased the Lord to take all of us through different paths in life. So I'm not, what you're feeling in the front row is quite different from one another. It's in the second row. We are all at different places. But I thank the Lord because it's God our master over all of our situations. And I thank him because he has been upholding us by his love. I know all of you can tell about different workings of Christ in our lives as we sit here in different expressions, more than a sermon can say. You all can testify to the personal dealings of Jesus, to the times when you had personally prayed to the Lord. And he had heard you and delivered you from many troubles. I thank him especially because we are all at best people. Let me just lay down the markers. See, none of you is impressive. There's no such thing as an impressive human being. In 80 years, you'll be replaced. We are all dispensable, replaceable. The earth will breed up another brood of people, and the Lord will continue to be glorified. But to such expendable beings as you and I, God has made a difference in giving to us the life of his Son. And because the only thing impressive as we see down there is not what you earn or who you are or how smart or, as the word may say, unsmart you are. There's no such thing as an unsmart person. It means God has created you to occupy a specific space in time. The thing that makes a difference in all of us is that we are possessed by Jesus. We are possessed, as many of you as are, as many of you as the Lord has enlightened our hearts. What makes the difference is that eternal hope that we have. If you do not belong to Jesus here, I don't know what impressive, what titles you may have, what you have achieved, how old you are, or how young. It doesn't matter. There have been people older that died, and they will die. But if you have been possessed by the Son of God this morning, your life is eternal and unending. And that is the good news, what Christ has done for us. That is the good news that he has sent us into the world to peddle. That is what he says we should encourage one another by. So we may go through different situations this week, previous weeks. We may possess and not. We may have and not have, be popular or not be popular. The only thing that makes a difference is that we have Jesus Christ in our lives. We were taking a walk, my wife and my children, this week. And we were sharing together what we had read in the Bible and things like that. And it occurred to us that whether is it Andrew Jackson or who is it that is on the dollar bill or the Lincoln Memorial, Abraham Lincoln or all of them, they are all gone. all of those monuments are not useful to them. We don't even know who their children and their grandchildren. The earth has replenished itself. They are brand new people upon the surface. And one day, we all will be replaced. I don't know my paternal grandfather. I know my maternal grandfather, but he seems, where's Simeon Anike? They don't know him. It occurred to me one day, I will pass. All of these things that appear to be so important to us, we diminish. But one thing that we never diminish is that great hope that Christ has given to us. And I pray that as long as we have life, we'll continue to grow in that hope and that grace. That is the message, is the greatest thing that we share today. Our problems will go away sooner or later. Our victories will vanish sooner or later. But I pray that Christ will be fully formed in us. And on that day, when Christ comes, we'll be established in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I say again, good morning and welcome, church. And as always, I'd like to share with you from the second chapter of Philippians, and just quickly, something that I think as a church that Christ would want us to be mindful of. I'd like to share with you what the Lord himself has been sharing with me. The next thing that we have to work on: for lack of a vision, the people perish. For lack of something that we're working on as Christians, we'll soon perish. So, but we must continually challenge ourselves in Christ until he comes. There are too many Christians that are bored. You know, I'm born again, so what's next in righteousness, you know? So our lives are reduced to what job do? How happy are you? How is your hair? Is it a bad hair day or a good hair day? You know, when is my next promotion? And when you look at it very deeply, you begin to ask yourself, yeah, these are good things, but you know, they're cyclical things too. We all have good moments and bad days. You can't pray bad moments away. But there are things that as Christians should keep us engaged. There are spiritual aspirations and physical aspirations in Christ, which he has ordained that we will be preoccupied with. And with these things, he will like us to continue to challenge one another. That's the essence of his words. That the man of God may be fully furnished unto every good works. So I'd like to share one. There are so many of them. But as the Lord shares with me, as the Lord calls me to some of these things, I'd like to share it with you, my brothers and sisters, this morning as a study of the Bible. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate his words. Philippians chapter 2, we'll be reading quite a few verses, but I'd like us to read a lesson from Philippians chapter 2, and we'll quickly build on it and round up by the grace of God. Are we there? So I'm reading in my personal study, I've been reading the little epistles or the short epistles, and I'm in Philippians. And about a week ago, I got to chapter 2, and I could not move on. And that's how I know that the Holy Ghost really wants me to pay attention to some things. So I start reading from verse 1. It says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, this is Paul writing, by the way, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Be united. Let it be your aspiration to be agreeable in Christ. Strive to reconcile all differences. But I mean, if you had ended that way, it would have been one of those things when you say, oh, it's nice to say the truth. Well, and someone rolls their eyes, and of course we all know it's nice to say the truth. How shall I say the truth? It's nice to love your neighbor. Of course we all know it's nice to love her. But what does it really mean to love? What are the action points? And I thank the Lord because the Bible continues to give us specific instructions. It says, make sure you don't do anything out of selfishness. That's verse 3. Let nothing be done out of selfish ambition. If we only think about our society today and ask how much of our actions are done thinking of just ourselves, But in the church, let nothing be done. Anything that you want to do, don't think about yourself. Or conceit. I think conceit means pride, right? It's conceited, right? People, you might think this is a little matter. If the Lord were to open up many minds here, what will come out will be ugly. Let nothing be done thinking about just yourself or in pride. The disciples had a problem with this. Don't think that it's just a human problem. But we are to fight it in the spirit of Jesus because we are Christians. Even disciples, the disciples began to do things out of conceit. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? Lord, I'd like to be the one on your right hand, your left hand. I mean, competing for the closest seat in heaven before they even got there. Christ said, no. No, this is not the time for that. Everything you do, don't do it out of me. I am this. These things tend to break the fellowship of saints. We've seen too many congregations in two extremes. Either the people are obsequious. That means they are yes-sir people. There's no freedom of the spirit. Or the people are conceited. That means everybody wants to be something. And then the congregation cannot stand. But Christ said the mindset that you should have, and children, you might be having fellowships. Oh, I don't know how colleges are today. Colleges in our days were the foundation of many of the pastors you see today. Their faith was formed in campus fellowships. I have a very tender heart towards campus fellowships because I really benefited. Volunteer pastors, it doesn't matter how rich, how poor you are, they all came together, everybody, Christians from different homes, poor and rich, accomplished, not accomplished. They all lost their individual identities and they began to serve Jesus while they were on campus. I pray that it will be like that. When you join campuses in school, in your college, right, I pray that you will know that you are there first to serve. Learn the blessedness of service. Well, we're going to see passages where, in this passage, it went on. He went on to say, now, what does it mean that nothing should be done out of selfish ambition? He said, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I had to ask myself, Lord, have I learned to esteem others? It doesn't mean esteem others better than yourself in this context does not mean you have an inferiority complex. I'm trying to get the language. At times, the Bible is context and language, right? Because Christ did not have a complex. It does not mean that think that everybody you meet is better than you. It means esteem them in relevance before yourself. Do you understand what I mean? It doesn't mean when I come across Bingpe, Bingpe is better than, yes, ma, yeah. That's not what the Bible is talking about here. Saying the interest, esteem, lift up, the interest of Bingpe in my heart must be before mine in the spirit of servitude. We all have different gifts and different expressions of it. Your gift may be money, your gift may be comforting, your gift may be, the Bible in another place says the Holy Spirit gives each one of us different gifts so that all of us will benefit right by it. It means as you express that gift, let others be lifted up. That's what it means. Lift others up. Esteem. This was the kind of body that the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind. Let everything be done with a lowly mind. A lowliness of mind. People, loneliness of mind does not mean, good morning, sir. Good morning. That's not loneliness of mind. You might be lonely in action and your mind is proud. Loneliness of mind is like the mind of Christ. That truly, I'm not going to, let me read it. We're going to get there. Verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, I say these things because these are hidden things in the Bible that for the lack of it, I think it was 1 Peter or so that tells us that when these things do not grow in us, that we will forget that we have been washed. We'll become unproductive and forget that we have been washed from our sins. And that's what is happening in Christianity. There aren't a lot of things we're aspiring to anymore. And when you are stagnant in Christianity, you go down. But there must be always something that you are challenging yourself to as a Christian. We must grow daily in Christ. Look out for the interest of others, not just your own. They're making me sisters leader. I'm speaking in the language of campus fellowship. Oh, but Sister Lara has been acting in that capacity. Please let Sister Lara do it because she's going to feel bad. Oh no, you are the one that the Lord has called. You are not that, yes. There's a gentle mind in Jesus, people. Unless you have that, you cannot truly rejoice with those who rejoice. Because their joy will always remind you of what you don't have. Let this mind be in you, which also are in Christ Jesus. Everything I say this morning can be done only by the grace of God. But the Lord gives an instruction as to what he wants us to think about this morning. Think about Jesus and let's model our lives. Now, like Peter, there will be falling. There will be the time when we will fall. But thank God for the grace that points us to the cross. I've said it, and I really think when we assess our day in the morning every day, please let's think about where we have fallen. In Christianity, we no longer reflect on how we may have committed sins. In fact, the word sin is no longer heard. I mean, grace has totally removed us in whether you still sin or not. John said, let no man deceive you. If you do not do righteousness, you are not righteous. Part of righteousness is this, that we say, Lord, you said I should have a humble mind. Yesterday, I did not have a humble mind towards that person. Please forgive me. That is righteousness. A sinner that acknowledges that they have done a wrong thing or a saint is walking in grace and in righteousness, and the sin will be wiped away. But those who hide their sins will not prosper. Every day, search yourself, the Bible says, whether you still be in faith or have you become reprobate? God forbid that we be reprobate. God wants us to be humble, and I've seen the lack of humility destroy congregations. But Akunle and I have had a few stories. It's as if it's just happened a lot in this year. It's been more than one. We've had at least two. For the lack of humility. And this story has been going on and on. But blessed are we, New Covenant Church, if we learn to serve one another. Listen, it will not come naturally to us. You see, we're all dressed fine. But you know what? A lot of us like people speaking bad about us. Peter was afraid. God knows where we are. He has made a provision. When we cannot pass an exam, we ask the Lord, help me, and we pass. When we don't have food, we say, God, give me food, and we have. When we lack righteousness in an area, should we not say, Lord, give me righteousness, and he will? But do we desire it? I pray that our congregation will be built up. I think God wants us to remember this. Anywhere you go in New Covenant Church, be a servant. The Lord will lift. I pray that any promotion you have, it will be God lifting you up, not you lifting yourself, in Jesus' name. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What the scripture is saying is this. Jesus can just decide he was going to remain in his divine form. No, he humbled himself and became a man. I wonder if you know, I want you to, let's reflect on the Redeemer at this moment. I don't think at times that we get the import. We say Jesus loves you because he died for your sins, which is true. Have you ever thought about that? Have you never seen great men in history who also died for a cause? Do soldiers not die for their country? Right? So what's so special? We've seen people, Gandhi was ready to starve and die for India. But why is the Lord so special? Not only that, we now saw his disciples ready to die, according to history. I don't know whether it's true or not. One of them, we'll be closing out the service soon. One of them was ready to die upside down. George Washington, the father of America, went on horseback. He was ready to die with all his wealth for America. So valor is not uncommon. Jesus, there was something about the death of Christ that's more powerful than all of those. There's never been a man who traveled the distance between honor and disgrace like Christ did. It's unnatural. We cannot understand. You cannot understand what Jesus did. It's not just that he died on the cross. It's who died on the cross. The relevance, the import of the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary is powerful. The spirits and principalities understand it. The angels wept at the sight. It's incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible. When you commit fraud in the U.S., like Nixon's lieutenant at Watergate, you know they did not send you to the common jail. There's a special jail for white criminals. The sense of committing a man from a White House to the common jail made them, it's a subconscious jail. They put you aside. You're still in jail. It's not as though you can ride in your Ferrari and no. You're still in the jumpsuit and everything. That's the honor ascribed to a man who has fallen. But this was God on the cross. The humility of the Lord Jesus Christ is the primary example for Christians. There were three that were crucified that day. We talk about one, not just because he's innocent, but because he was God on the cross. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Like you, I go to work and I feel great insult at times. We all feel the natural pinch. But I go to my bed and I say, Father, how did Christ take this? How was he stripped naked and he did not speak a word, led to the slaughter? By grace, he has given me the ability to be the same. We must emulate Jesus in this. In honor, esteeming others better than yourself. In everything we do, how do you feel, my brother? Think about how the other person feels before you do stuff. We do certain things and we do not even think. How does this action, how does it impact my brother here? people, we can speak big spiritual languages. You can see dreams. You can prophesy. Unless this tenderness is in our hearts, we cannot truly say that we are acting like Jesus Christ. Because our time is far spent, I'd like us to read quickly Philippians. Maybe I should just, I'll go ahead and read Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not just to believe, but also to suffer for him. Our bodies are no longer conditioned in 2017 to suffer. If someone parks in our parking lot, what do we do? Christians. Yeah, well, most of us don't live in apartments and Kenya anymore. We now have our own private parking suite and stuff. But in those days, someone parked in your parking lot as Christians. Most of us are no, our bodies are no longer conditioned to suffer. My body. I have to recondition my body to suffer. These were things that we used to be reminded when we first started in Christ. That look, by your behavior, by the things that other people will not take, that you take, let people know that Jesus lives in you. When someone cuts you off in traffic, what do you do? What? What? You take off on the person? That may be what you do now, and that is fine. Ebenezer, Ebenezer, thus far has the Lord helped me. What I'm challenging you in this sermon is that when you find yourself doing it tomorrow, please know that it's not acceptable to Jesus. Make it a prayer point. Let us get better. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying let us get better in character. Let us know that God wants us to be better people. He wants us to forbear. He wants us to go into the... See, most of us are only as good as our neighbors are good. Says you say hello to those who say hello to you. How are you better than the other people? Lord, let my righteousness be more than the righteousness of us. Forget the deep theological insight into that passage on the surface. Lord, let my behavior, let the expression of your inworking in me be better than what I see in Pharisees and Sadducees. Sadducees love their children as well. Many people that don't believe in Jesus also love their wives, and they are great husbands and great wives. What is it that I bring to the table as a Christian that makes people know that Christ is glorified in me? Please write this down. We don't have the time to go through it. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works both to will and to do of his good will. Remember that. And that is why you pray about it. I'm not saying this that you should beat yourself down. By no means. I always say to my wife this, that I'm never disappointed in myself as a Christian. That would be arrogant of me to be disappointed in myself. I did not appoint myself as a Christian. All of the fruits of righteousness in all of us were not from me anyway. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So I'm never disappointed. When I find myself down and sinning, I'm not down on myself. I'm hugging the grace of Christ. I'm going, Lord, make me better. I knew when I was way worse. You brought me this far. You can take me to the destination. Never get down on yourself. But by no means never ignore the means of grace that God has given to you. We tend to fold our hands and say, well, it is the way things are. No, it ought not to be so. We can get better. We can get better. We did not appoint ourselves. Don't be disappointed. In heaven, on judgment day, the heavens will cry because of self-righteous people that refused to embrace the living grace of God. Christians that refuse to repent. Christians that refuse to thirst and hunger for righteousness. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I don't know what your aspirations are. I want to be like Jesus. It's the gift that will never be taken away from me. It says in verse 14, Philippians 2, do all things without complaining and fighting. How many times did you complain last week? all things. Senor, how many times do I have to remind you not to leave the light on? I had to apologize to both my kids this. I went off on them. I had to call them, and my conscience just would not let me rest. I was praying in the morning and I said, no, you could have handled that better, Wally. Yeah, but I'm their father. I've told them you could have handled it better, Wally. Yeah, Lord, I'll do better. You could have handled that better, Wally. I woke them, I said, please forgive me. Daddy should not have gone off on you, boy. You two listen quickly, you know. But Daddy is sorry, eh? I'm sorry. And as I was apologizing, the Holy Spirit was giving me peace. Do all things without complaining. Do all things without fighting. Why don't we pray? Wouldn't he grant grace? I think the greater glory is in experiencing the grace of God helping us to handle difficult things. Please write down Matthew 5:38-48. We won't have the time to go through it. And 1 Peter 4:14-19. They are all saying the same thing, that we should become better people. Let us pray. 1 Peter 4:14-19. Then Matthew 5:38-58. That one is the one that we don't like. Says if someone slaps you on the right, turn it. We still don't like that one. Now, there's been lots of Christian jokes about that, but Christ was not joking when he said that. If he did not mean that you should literally turn your cheek, he at least means that we should be people of peace. So much peace that people will say there's something unusual about your patience and forbearance. That's who I want to be. When I kneel down in the morning, as I'm asking for the prosperity of my children and my life, the prosperity of my soul, this will be the sign of it, that I'm growing in the things that the Bible wants me to grow in. I don't want to look at a good unbeliever. I'm only as good as them. Their wearing is the manifestation of the grace of God in your life. May the Lord help us as a church as we go into the week. Father, thank you for your word. Please give us the grace to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.